Mr. Jay Sekulow, the president acknowledges that he underestimates ISIS, and he sends F-16 development to India to make India great again.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Let me ask you if it's possible in your position to be completely honest and say the rise of the Islamic State surprised you. It took you by surprise. It took the administration by surprise.
The ability of ISIL to initiate major land offensives, that was not on my intelligence radar screen.
A curious announcement here in the closing days of the Obama administration. Along with Boeing and Lockheed Martin, the Obama administration is working on a deal to send aircraft components to India. Fighter jets, to have them assembled in India. That would include the F-16 Fighting Falcon and the F-A-18 Super Hornet. Isn't there an obvious problem with doing that, having our sensitive technological equipment transferred from Texas to India?
Only if you are truly worried about the security of the United States, that's all. And of course, I can feel confident in saying that I think the President of the United States today doesn't have the same level of concern about the security of this nation that most Americans have. And I hate to say it, but I believe it. And this is an example of it.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Here in Michigan is that the 4.8 million ballots that were being hand counted that were cast during the presidential election, they are no longer going to be counted. That has to be stopped. That is a result of the federal judge's ruling that basically said there was no reason for a recount. It was not valid. In his 8-page opinion, he also stated that there were no signs of any tampering or fraud during the recent presidential election.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, there you have the news in a nutshell. So the president sending F-16 production to India to make India great again. He acknowledges to Fareed Zakaria on CNN that, in fact, he underestimated ISIS. No kidding. And the Michigan judge says the recount is over with against Donald Trump, so they're going to end up certifying their elections. We're taking your calls on all of this at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Kind of tells you, though, the nature of what we're dealing with today. I want to start, though, with we filed a lawsuit, as you remember, against the United States State Department. From the ACLJ against the State Department. The issue there was, of course, the misrepresentation, I guess you'd call it, Jordan, of the Iran deal because of a video edit. Logan had talked about this before, too, where they took out the dates of this. So they tried to make it sound like the Iran negotiation started when Rouhani came in, but it was actually under Ahmadinejad. We filed a lawsuit on that.
Yeah, that's right. This missing video. Everybody remembers James Rosen from Fox News who covered this. It was during his questioning of State Department officials, and it literally just disappears in the edit marks that were made. So we filed this FOIA. Of course, the State Department, we had to go to court over that. They didn't initially comply. Now they have. There's some interesting info in there, but this is the norm.
For our ACLJ, Facebook, and Periscope audience, here's one of the emails. Let's put it up on the screen so everybody can see this. This is from Marie Harf. She was press spokesperson for the State Department to Ben Rhodes from the White House. Hi, guys. Couple of things I want to flag. Just wanted to put them on your radar. And then the entire rest of the email is completely redacted. Completely redacted. Another email, John Kirby, the spokesperson, gets an email from Marie Harf. Did you get any more clarity on what happened here, talking about the video editing? Response, very strange, not really. She says, not really, very strange. Her response is, so bizarre. That's why we're in federal court fighting this out right now. All right, we're going to take your calls and comments when we come back from the break. Logan, let everybody know how they can engage.
Yes, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Join us on social media if you're watching already. Welcome. But if not, you can watch us during the breaks, during the show, live, facebook.com/Jay Sekulow, or Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. Get your comments in that way as well. One line is open right now, though, 1-800-684-3110.
All right. We'll be taking more of your calls when we come back. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign also at ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
The The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Obama administration and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the ACLJ is vital. We could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Well, the Michigan recount has been brought to a stop. The order dissolving the temporary restraining order was issued by the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Michigan yesterday on the Trump recount, or the recount of the Michigan election. It is done. It is finished in that regard. I think Michigan, it's fair to say, Jill Stein's threatening to appeal it, but there's nowhere for this one to go. Pennsylvania, our team filed a brief last night. It is being argued tomorrow. I expect that we're going to be successful on that one as well, and that will do it, and there'll be enough votes for certification for the president-elect to become president on inaugural day. We've got a lot to talk about. We're already getting calls coming in. Let me kind of set the stage here. We'll go around the table once, and that is first on the F-16 situation. This is not that we're selling F-16s to India. That's normal. That's a fighter jet. This is actually outsourcing the manufacturer of the F-16s from Texas to India. Listen, Lockheed Martin and Boeing, they want to do this because it saves money. It increases their bottom line. The president says it's going to improve our relationships with India. India has a program right now called their Made in India campaign. But do we want our F-16s made in India? And I would think the answer to that is pretty obvious. We do not. Jordan first, then Than, then we'll take some calls.
Yeah, when it comes to the F-16, we have more info right now. But India would actually be the only producer of the combat aircraft in the world. So it'd be the only country, not the U.S. anymore, the entire F-16 program. So that does mean, though, the U.S. has been phasing out the F-16. The reason why, another reason I want to put this in India is that many other countries, this is still very important technology and right, gives them a huge advantage militarily, even though we've moved on to F-35s and are in development for other planes. That they will be the only producer, which means if there's, while we use ours, they kind of transfer into the training world, but also right, the Air National Guards, yep, at each state. When you need repairs done, when you need parts manufactured for those repairs, they would be coming from India under this scenario. Everything made for the F-16 would be the entire assembly line would move from Texas to India. Now, I do want to make sure they're not saying they're going to necessarily be firing thousands of people. Well, but what they have told them is you could reapply, so no guarantee.
That doesn't mean you have a job. It doesn't mean a guarantee.
To then work on the F-35. And I'm sure a lot of these people are not certified for that because there's been a big enough business. And there still continues to be in selling the F-16.
Yeah, I actually was on an interview this morning with FoxNews.com on this, and they are talking with Lockheed and with Boeing because their understanding is that the people will not be guaranteed a job, that they can apply for a job on the F-35 program. But I think this raises a more fundamental issue, and that is our own national security, our own ability to control technology, our own ability to control hardware. Now, Than, we've launched a campaign on this. It's starting to get a lot of attention. What are you sensing right now? Because Congress's last day in is tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. But that's the primary concern of folks on the Hill, Jay. Listen, even if our military has decided to move on to the F-35, you still want to be able to determine who in the world gets the next best plane. If that's right. The F-16, you want to be able to determine who has access to that. So that's the primary concern. But the secondary concern, Jay, is the only reason that this program is profitable for these companies, Boeing and Lockheed Martin, is because of the contracts that exist with the United States government. If those went away, this would not be profitable. So those two companies might want to move these overseas, but guess what? They have to honor the wishes of the United States government because of those contracts. That's why we're working with Congress. Congress can stipulate that they cannot move these offshores, and Jay, they should.
Yeah, the president also acknowledged yesterday on a CNN interview that he underestimated and misunderstood the threat from ISIS. So yeah, this was, of course, days after he said it wasn't an existential threat. Do we have that bite? Here it is. This is the president of the United States.
Let me ask you if it's possible in your position to be completely honest and say the rise of the Islamic State surprised you. It took you by surprise. It took the administration by surprise.
The ability of ISIL to initiate major land offensives, that was not on my intelligence radar screen.
Well, then, great. So then, meanwhile, they're controlling half of Syria and a portion of Iraq, and you're saying it's not an existential threat. By the way, stop calling them ISIL, but in a few more days, we're not going to listen to that anymore. Anyways, let's take some comments and phone calls. I'm pointing this out because I told you folks, we got to stay on guard here these last 50-something days of this administration. Stay engaged, which is what we're doing. By the way, we've got a petition up at aclj.org on the issue of the F-16s. And if you want to stand with us, we're, of course, in our Matching Challenge campaign, which helps us do all this work we're doing, whether it's on the election, whether it's on the F-16s, aclj.org. Let's go ahead and take a call or comment, Logan.
For some of the comments in there coming out, this is from Gene, and that seems to be a trend of getting, saying that they think this is a false story, that F-18 production U.S. will stay in the U.S.
This is F-18? F-18
is
a Hornet.
India to purchase planes.
It is not for India to purchase a plane. Let me make sure that
they do that.
Yeah, Lockheed Martin and Boeing, they sell F-16s, and we have to authorize the sale, the United States government. That's very different from manufacturing. So if I don't know if there's, quote, fake news sites out there, but the reality is this is the production of the F-16, not the sale.
Yeah, this is a Washington Post article that Lockheed Martin has proposed to move its entire F-16 assembly line from Texas to India, making India the sole producer of the single-engine combat aircraft. Not seller, producer. Key word there. That's the manufacturing. That's the jobs. And this is not even just an issue about 1,000 people's jobs. This is also an issue about national security. I think it ties together. And it's one that I would imagine. Now, I caution here because these two companies combined, when they combine forces, have basically got everybody who's been in the government on their payroll.
Correct.
And so you're not going to see as much criticism from the usual folks because they're likely paid or getting paid.
Or consultants.
Right, yeah, in some sense or form, because of their entire business relies on federal contracts.
All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call.
All right, let's go to Dean in California. You're on the air, Dean.
Hi, Dean, go ahead.
Greetings. The middle of my career in the aerospace defense industry was at Lockheed Martin in Fort Worth, Texas, Air Force Plant Number 4.
Yes,
early
sir.
In his career, my dad had worked there. And any manufacturer of military equipment must remain in the U.S. for various reasons.
Well, I've outlined my reasons, but you actually work for Lockheed Martin. So you reiterate what you think. I think it's national security. It's the technology control. What is your sense?
Yes, regardless of what they put down as security for the F-16, if it's over in another country, people can move into the back door on security issues.
Right.
And things would go out simply because it's in another country, not in the United States. So, you know, also, even things that are not technically secure need to be taken care of and held indoors.
All right, so I understand all of that. My concern is also is that these can end up – right now the United States controls the sale of these aircraft. You move it to India, like you said, who knows where they are going to end up? And India's an ally of ours, but, you know, technically Pakistan's an ally of the United States too in a technical sense. Would you ship this to Pakistan? And where do these end up? And the answer to that is no. I mean, you wouldn't do that. So this is some President Obama plan on marketing. But as I said to someone today again, I did this interview. This is not like someone's outsourcing the manufacture of a shirt or a suit to India. This is a fighter jet. Let's take another call or comment.
All right, let's go ahead. Let me grab a comment. This is Ava said, how is it a security risk? You mentioned that to the U.S. of India. Can't sell these F-16s.
Well, India will have the license and control of this aircraft. So, Than, one of the things, what are you hearing from the military people? Because as Jordan pointed out, a lot of them are on Lockheed Martin and Boeing's payroll here. But what are you hearing from people within the military, but also within Congress, on that concern of where does the item actually go? Where does the jet go?
Yeah, there sure are a lot of people on the payroll. I would say it ties in directly to Dean's call. Listen. First of all, these two companies, just to be very clear, Boeing and Lockheed Martin, they have contributed a lot to the United States. They are valuable United States companies. And in fact, they are the primary suppliers of U.S. technology. But that is the concern. We do not want to give our best military technology to anyone in the world. And right now, yes, these companies do sell to other countries, but we can stipulate who gets that technology. The primary concern here in Washington, D.C. is if this transfer goes through, it is that control that is lost. So if India decides they want to sell these jets to Iran, guess who can't stop it? The United States of America.
Yeah, unbelievable. Can we grab another call before the break, Logan? Do you think we got time?
Sure, we can.
Okay.
Let's go ahead. Let's go to Joshua in California.
Hi, Joshua. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Yes.
I was just wondering if this is something that Trump can overturn once he becomes president. Is there like some kind of...
In other words, can Donald Trump stop? I mean, this is where we think it has to be Congress working on it now, because Donald Trump's not sworn in for 54 days. What's your sense of the politics of it, Jordan?
Yeah, I think that this, again, it has not been fully moved forward. So is it something that they could put the brakes on their own, Lockheed Martin and Boeing? Maybe.
Yeah.
But that would take significant public pressure and probably someone like Donald Trump weighing in. Because this involves the military, this is not heaters. This is not furnaces like in the situation with Carrier. And not to play down the importance of that, but we're talking about fighter jets here.
Yep.
This may not be something he just tweets about. That being said, he gets a little bit info on it, starts making some news, and I think you could see that pressure. He's already taken on Boeing. So you could caution that this involves military, but he's already called out Boeing for the contract to build the new Air Force One. So he's not afraid of calling these companies out.
All right, we're going to take more of your calls and comments when we come back for the break. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. The Michigan case on the recount is over. We just filed our brief in Pennsylvania. So that I expect to end tomorrow as well, and that should do it. And President-elect Trump will get certified. We'll take more of your calls when we come back from the break. Get your comments into Logan as well.
That's right. Join us right now, 1-800-684-3110, or Facebook or Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow. We're broadcasting live there, and comments come in. Continue to be a part of the discussion. Be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Obama administration and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the ACLJ is vital. We could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Skip Bastion, senior counsel for the ACLJ. He is also in charge of our national security practice, a retired colonel of the United States Army. Skip, let's talk for a moment here to start with this transfer of the F-16s from a military standpoint, allowing the not just the sale, which is already takes place, but actually the production. I want that to be clear, Logan, to everybody. I know we're getting a lot of questions right on Facebook on this. This is the production of the F-16. It will not take place in the United States any longer. That will be done.
Right. I think people just needed that clarified.
Okay, so it's moving the production. Skip, your analysis of it, what does it mean?
Well, I think it's significant, and I think it's against our national interest for the following reasons. First of all, we are transferring highly technical technology. So it's one of those things that they would not be able to have absent our giving it to them. And what is, I think, equally important is the fact that they will then be in charge of all the parts flow. We will have these aircraft in the U.S. inventory for a number of years, and if we need parts, we'll have to go to the Indians to get parts, and nations normally act in what they consider to be their best interests. If India's in a crisis and needs those parts, we're not going to get them at that time. So the whole issue of sending sensitive defense industry to a foreign country without very, very strong limitations to me is very serious, and I don't think this administration has thought through the implications.
I was going to ask you this. You know, the president's getting a lot of flack today because he said he acknowledged to on CNN yesterday that he did not take into it was not on his radar screen the ability of ISIS to do what they've done. It wasn't on his radar screen. I don't know if it's on his radar screen that moving this production of F-16s over to India could have harm to the United States. But is this putting our military and national security at risk, Skip?
Oh, I think it definitely is. You know, this administration looks at the world through rose-colored glasses. We're going to have peace with the Arabs by going to Cairo. We're going to do this. We're going to hold hands. We're going to do all this type of thing. We're going to have a reset with Russia. And how has all of that turned out? It has all turned out to be wrong based on a faulty assumption of what and how nations act with each other.
All right,
and doing this with India, India's a friendly country with us, but we're trying to be friendly, as you said earlier, between Pakistan and India, and this shows Pakistan that we're siding with India, and that is going to have implications with respect to Afghanistan and other places.
Yeah, because the regional impact of that is significant. It's like they don't, you know, you got to think like nine-dimensionally here, and this administration has just been unable to do it. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, Logan.
Yeah, let's go to line three, Jeff in California.
Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
We're all from California this afternoon, huh? Welcome, guys. Can the states that are going to lose the most jobs with this, with Texas being one, and I'm assuming Washington with Boeing, can they sue the federal government to block it?
So let's talk about Jordan and Than. What happens here? I mean, lawsuits don't help. This is really congressional action. Go ahead, Jordan.
No, this is in Fort Worth, Texas, and all of these contracts to build military equipment work through the U.S. government. Than's explained that, but just for everybody to know, you can't just start your own fighter jet manufacturing, and even if you did, you wouldn't have anyone to buy it or pay for the research and technology that would be necessary to create something that you could sell on the market. Usually what we do with these planes is we have them for a number of years just for our own use, and then as we move on to additional aircraft, we phase those out. We start selling them to other countries with different technology. Usually we have our own technology that makes our planes different, and other countries will create theirs. But what we have here, so we've got about 1,000 people working in Fort Worth, Texas, but this is all under the federal government. This is not a state issue. Now, they can choose to be there based off tax incentives.
Sure.
So maybe the state could, Texas, but Texas is so business friendly. I don't think putting the pressure on Texas, the state of Texas, is the right thing. They're not the ones ultimately signing contracts to build these jets.
No, I think
the billion-dollar contract.
I think this is a national security issue. It needs to be elevated to Congress. Stan, what exactly are we asking for, and how does it procedurally happen?
Well, remember that the executives of these companies want to move this, too. So it really is going to have to come from the ground up. Listen, for Congress can say to these companies, and this is where Donald Trump may have to step in and really partner with Congress on this. They can say to these companies, we give you all the contracts that you depend on to keep your business afloat. Those contracts are going away if you transfer this F-16 line over to India. They would have to do it statutorily, Jay, so the next time that they could actually get that off their desk would be in January. But if the new president-elect would signal that he's behind that, it would send a very strong signal before then.
All right, let's go ahead, Logan. Let's go right back to the phones here.
All right, let's go to line four, Jeff, in Hampton, Virginia.
Oh, Hampton, Virginia, big military area. Jeff, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Retired Air Force, 23 years
thank
at
you for
a Langley
service.
Air Force base.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just think it's ironic that right after our president-elect goes and finds jobs to save, this one wants to ship out jobs to India. And then not only jobs, it's not like you were saying for just some piddling thing, but it's highly classified stuff. And then how are we going to, as a former security manager, how are we going to control who gets access, what countries get access to this production information and such like that? That's all.
Yeah,
I mean,
Jeff, you raised a question. Skip, this is the question. Once it's being done in India, we have no idea. Let's be realistic. We will have no idea where this goes. Skip, go ahead.
That's exactly right. And we're going to end up saying that the government will probably say, yes, we will do everything. All the terms we'll abide by. But you're going to have others, spies and everybody else down there who are going to take bribes and so forth. And this technology is going to be going all over the region very quickly.
Yeah. And that's a region, by the way, that could be very dangerous, Jordan. I mean, really dangerous. This is a big mistake, folks, about to happen.
We haven't seen, obviously, these contracts. We haven't seen all of them laid out. But what we do know is the full production would be in India. We don't know if there'd be any restrictions or for how long those restrictions will be in place before India can decide on its own unilaterally what countries to sell F-16s to. There may be some preconditions early on that say for the first couple of years or first 5 years. But ultimately, India, it's a different country than the United States. They have different diplomatic relations with a country like Iran. They have different diplomatic relations with a country like you could go into China, who, again, it's not like they couldn't have worked to try to get this technology through spying, as Skip's talking about. This makes it a lot easier if you could just buy it on the open market and you're not, you know, no secrets about it, whether the Russians are buying it or not. They don't have to go that extra step anymore to try and figure out our technology.
Yeah, Will just pointed us out. This is from a newspaper in India, okay? This is how technical and dangerous this is to regional stability. The paper's headline is, India expresses displeasure to the U.S. over F-16 sale to Pakistan. Just the sale of the F-16s to Pakistan, one of our allies, has India riled up. So what does this do to Pakistan now that we're moving production to India, who they're not going to want to sell them to? Not going to want to have Lockheed Martin sell them to. Skip?
Well, I guess the issue with me, Pakistan and India have fought a series of wars since they split back at the end of the 1940s. This could be a cause celeb for another war if the Pakistanis try to destroy the assembly line. And then not only can the Indians not produce the aircraft, then we have no access to the parts flow.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, this is a dangerous move. All right, folks, we are going to be taking direct action on this. We've got a petition up at ACLJ.org, but we're also in our matching challenge campaign. As I said, we told you we would be looking for all these issues as this administration goes out. This is another one we found. We're working on it. Our team in Washington is already working on it. Our national security team in Virginia is working on it. Our team on Capitol Hill is working on it. And we're bringing it to you right now. We've got a matching challenge, ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for it. December's a big month for us. I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. Logan, let everybody know how they can get the next 30 minutes of this broadcast.
That's right. If we lose you here, join us online right now live, Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. If you do have to leave us, find us later on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast or the ACLJ app, available for iPhone, for Apple TV and Roku devices.
All right, don't forget that matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Please stand with the ACLJ right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
We'll fight for the right to live. Weinstein's production goes to India. The president acknowledges that he doesn't underestimate it and that, quote, ISIS was not on his radar screen. That's worth playing again because this tells you this is the parting shot for this administration. I think this kind of sums it up. Here is our president of the United States about ISIS.
Let me ask you if it's possible in your position to be completely honest and say the rise of the Islamic State surprised you. It took you by surprise. It took the administration by surprise.
The ability of ISIL to initiate major land offensives, that was not on my intelligence radar screen.
Intelligence. You know, we wrote a book about this before all this was going on at this level called Rise of ISIS. And you know, the president said 2 days ago that none of this is an existential threat. I mean, this is, you know, Jordan, this is, I mean, it's doublespeak. The administration's leaving. We got to deal with the F-16 nonsense. We're getting through the election recounts. That's all going fine, by the way, legally. But this thing is pretty, it's telling that the president said this.
Yeah, I mean, everything, it seems like anytime Muslims organize anything dangerous, it catches this president off guard. It's just such a peaceful religion to him. And I mean, we've been talking about this since the surge in Iraq, since the withdrawal of U.S. troops. He was warned about this as one of the issues with withdrawing those troops is that you could have, again, people come in to fill the vacuum, whether that was Iran or a radical Sunni group. You have both now in Iraq that have been on the surge. And so you've got the fighting going between Sunni and Shia as well. This doesn't, it shouldn't surprise anyone. Anytime you've got a conflict, and in a post-conflict time, there's typically some kind of at least civil discord between once people who are under a dictatorship are free, especially in a place in the world that's fairly violent. But it's part of our own history as well. You kind of have to work through those issues and differences between yourselves. That being said, we weren't prepared at all for this. Does not mean we didn't know this was going to happen. And so I think it's they didn't want to prepare, not they didn't know.
So let me go to Skip Ash on this, our senior counsel, because we wrote about ISIS just as it was breaking. This is a pretty big admission, Skip, from the administration regarding something that is right now in a very serious threat to the United States, but also certainly within the Middle East region.
That's absolutely right. In fact, this was such a gross misreading of the fact that we did not leave forces in Iraq when everything left, because anybody would realize that the Sunni-Shia split is so profound that there would be a reaction against the Shia coming back against the Sunni in Iraq, and the Sunni had to somehow survive, and ISIS was a result. And everyone should have anticipated this, to include the president. And I bet he did receive intelligence reports that this was developing, and yet he just couldn't believe them with his worldview.
I think that's exactly right. It did not fit the worldview. Logan, do we have time for a comment or a call?
I had a quick call. Let's go to Randy in Detroit.
Hey, Randy, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Speaking of multidimensional thinking, I was reading that the Assad regime had a hand in creating ISIS. Is that true, like to create a foil, to create a false enemy?
Well, I think, look, the Assad regime plays multiple sides, Jordan, against the middle here. I mean, Assad has survived in power by playing a lot of sides, including being pretty aggressive against ISIS, actually, because he is an Alawite, and that's more in line with the kind of the more Shia kind of egg branch of Islam, if you will. What's your sense of that, Jordan? I don't think Assad is connected to ISIS.
He would not help any Sunnis have weapons. And that's because as an Alawite, he's backed by the Shia
in Iran.
Shias in Iran and the Ba'ath Party. He was from Saddam Hussein's same political party. And so this is a different kind of political Islam that Assad and those, it's really he's not even a Muslim, technically. Even the radical Shias in Iran would not consider Assad a Muslim in their own country. He could be persecuted in Iran, but he's done good for them in Syria. So he's played this role of their fairly secular leaders. And that's why they used to be the bells of the ball in Europe. Remember, Assad and his wife would attend all these events inside the European Union. Yeah. It wasn't until this conflict started, I think this was the vacuum created by the United States leaving.
We've got a book out on this called Unholy Alliance, The Agenda That Iran, Russian Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. If you want a signed copy, you can go buy unholyalliance.com and you can get a signed copy of the book. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. We're going to take more of your calls when we come back at 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. we engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Obama administration and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the ACLJ is vital. We could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
The broadcast, everyone. So, you know, we sued the State Department on their false narrative on Iran, the lie to the American people. We filed a FOIA request. I'm holding in my hand, and you can see it on Facebook and Periscope, and you here you hear it on radio. You can hear it. You can't see it, but let me read it to you on radio. You'll get the idea. This is one of the this is an email from Marie Harf to Ben Rhodes at the White House regarding the Iran issues. Hi guys, couple things I want to flag, redacted. Just want to put them on your radar. And then the rest of the email is completely redacted. Now, do they think...
Clearly, there was a lot in that email. It wasn't like they redacted one sentence.
No, they redacted the entire email, but had the nerve to include this. We are about to uncover a fraud on the American people on this deal with Iran. It even gets worse. I had Joseph Williams, one of our associate counsels, go through with Miles Terry. They went through the various documents, and there's one where there is... Marie Harf sends an email to John Kirby... And with a follow-up, basically, wanting more information. Did you get on clarity on what happened regarding the editing, basically? John Kirby, not really. Very strange. Then her response back to John Kirby, so bizarre. That's not good enough for the American people. We're in federal court, folks. We owe it to our men and women that are fighting for us around the globe to find out what the heck happened with this Iran deal, and we're going to do that. I just wanted to bring that up to you, let you know we're in court on that. Filed our brief in the Pennsylvania recount case. That's going to be decided tomorrow. Michigan, the recount is done. He's going to be certified. All right, let's go right to the phones.
All right, let's go to Ron. He's been on hold about a half an hour.
Hey, Ron,
in Chicago.
I'm going to send you a copy of our book, Unholy Alliance, because you've been holding for a long time, as Logan said. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Yep. Thanks a lot for everything. And how much time would it take for them to actually do the physical moving of the company over there?
Well, they're talking about building a plant. I mean, it's going to be it's a major facility. You're talking about probably $1 billion of development. I mean, this is money that could be staying in the United States. I mean, it's a lot of money. What are you thinking, Jordan?
1,000 people being hired. But, you know, this is, again, it's not the same kind of regulatory scheme as America.
Right.
So you could probably get this up and running much quicker than you would ever be able to get a fighter jet
facility.
Much less security, labor standards, building standards. And again, it's not to say that it wouldn't be competent. They
right.
would be producing F-16s that would work. But it's again,
loss
think it's,
of control.
This is not just is about a plane being manufactured somewhere, or as we said yesterday, a little Ford Fiesta being manufactured in India.
Or your suit. I mean, this is an F-16.
Yeah, exactly. And so you talk about the national security concern,
yep.
and the job concern. And the fact is, with these companies specifically, more so than the carriers of the world, though they had large government contracts as well because of government buildings. And you understand now how the government can be involved in this
right.
business world without being like a socialist government.
Right.
Because we're a capitalist government, our our government itself gets involved in the market, has to negotiate deals and purchases. They've got to have heaters. They've got to have air conditioning. They have to have buildings. They also have to have planes.
Right.
You can assert yourself here in a very strong way, very clearly. Donald Trump's already done that when it came to Air Force One.
I expect we're going to hear something out of Donald Trump on this, I think.
This seems right up his alley.
Yeah. So Skip, on the military side, Skip Hatch, senior counsel for the ACLJ, retired colonel, United States Army, and also head of our national security group. Give a quick brief again on the national security risk of having this done in India. And then, Than, I want you to be ready to tell everybody exactly what we're doing. Skip first.
Okay, the first thing is we're transferring sensitive technology outside of our country, so we no longer will be able to control who has access to it and where it will go. Secondarily, they will then control the stream of spare parts and the stream, and we will have aircraft still in our inventory being used by the U.S. Armed Forces, now dependent on spare parts made in a foreign country, and assume, for instance, that we have a misunderstanding and they just want to put pressure on us. They just stop the delivery or slow down the delivery of these things. So it's, and I think what we're doing is we are unsettling in the Indian subcontinent between Pakistan and India, we are unsettling sort of the relationship between them, giving an advantage to India, which will cause Pakistan at some point to react.
Look, I mean, the sale of the aircraft from Lockheed was enough to, this is a headline in Indian paper. India expresses displeasure of U.S. over the sale of the F-16 to Pakistan. Could you imagine Pakistan's reaction to when we've got the F-16s being developed in India, which is their neighbor? I mean, so Than, tell everybody exactly what we're planning on doing, because we want to get people engaged on this to help stop this nonsense.
Yeah, Two layers immediately, Jay. We're asking the Department of Commerce and the Department of State to stop the Department of Defense from going through with this contract. But then secondarily, we're asking Congress for two things. First of all, we are asking for the prohibition of dollars being spent on the transfer of these contracts. That would essentially stop it. And, Jay, we're also asking for a new law, a new statute that prohibits any of this type of technology from moving forward again. Because, listen, this is a red flag that these kind of transfers might happen again in the future. We want to stop this deal, but we also want to make sure we don't go down this road again. So we want that statutory prohibition as well.
All right, so let me do this. We're going to take your phone calls. If you want to sign that petition, it's at ACLJ.org, but also support a matching challenge campaign. That's another way you can make a big difference. Let's go ahead and take a phone call or a comment. What do you want to take next, Logan?
Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Let's go to Mike in Wells, Maine.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Jay, Logan, Jordan. Appreciate all that you folks do.
And
you know, it's really interesting. Two nights ago, I was watching Donald Trump do one of his thank you rallies, and he made a comment about a job theft where thousands of jobs have been lost over the last 8 years. And then the next day, I turn on your show, and you're talking about us sending all these production jobs over to India. It sounds like a prime example of what he was talking about.
It is, except this is at a much more serious level, and I don't mean to belittle carrier air conditioning or the manufacturer of clothing, but you're talking about F-16s here. One of the things I'm concerned about right now, and that's why we monitor social media feeds here at the ACLJ, and Logan, I want to talk to you about this, because you're saying there are people think that this is not a real story. Folks, this is coming out of the Washington Post, and the Department of Defense acknowledges, including Ash Carter.
Yeah,
he's going there to negotiate this.
Articles must be coming up showing some sort of spin that people are falling for it. So, keep a watch on not just us, but look on major news sources. People are covering this.
Do we have the Ash Carter sound yet? Is there any Ash Carter sound? But he's going to India to negotiate and finalize this, folks. So this is not coming from sites that aren't trustworthy. This is information we've gathered at the ACLJ, and the Washington Post is already reporting, and it's already being discussed by members of the United States Congress. Lockheed itself stated this by announcing the plan. So Lockheed did this, right, Than? I mean, Lockheed's gone forward on this, trying to get this deal through. They're lobbying in Washington right now.
Yeah, they really kicked it off, Jay. They said, we want to move some of this production overseas in order to lower cost. And our concern, though, I mean, that announcement in and of itself might not seem that much, because you would expect the federal government to stop it. What is the concern here is that the Department of Defense has gone along with it. They have not objected to it, and that's what makes the president and the administration complicit. They did not stop Lockheed's plan.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the ramifications are serious. Let's grab another call, Logan.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Mike in Alabama.
Hi, Mike. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello?
Yep. All right, Mike, we'll go back to you in a moment here.
All right, let's go Alexander in Seattle.
Hi, Alexander.
Hi, Jay. How are you doing today?
Good, sir.
Jay,
If you really look at this, Trump is strategically planning to go to war. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Why do you say that? Why do you say strategic?
Because of the fact the cabinet is one thing from the choices.
Well, first of all, Alexander, we are at war. You understand that, though, of course.
War.
We are at war.
That is correct. We're always at war.
Yeah.
But right now, the main thing that he announced that he wants to go to war with is ISIS. And right now, he's strategically placing things in position in order to go to war.
He ran on a platform of destroying ISIS. So
yeah, the president acknowledged he under he was not on his radar. He said the growth of ISIS, he said, wasn't on the president's radar. So it's on Donald Trump's radar.
And he's been very clear. He doesn't want to get involved in long ground campaigns, but he's not opposed to utilizing ground forces to destroy ISIS and then instead of nation building. So I think that that's no surprise to anyone. I don't think you found some secret. Donald Trump ran on destroying ISIS specifically, and I do think that's why you're seeing a lot of high-ranking military join his cabinet in various spots, because the threat from the Islamic State is real, and they know that President Obama is handing this to them to be dealing with on day one.
You know, Ronald from Facebook just posted, the best way to prevent war is to always be ready for war, and that is absolutely the case.
And we're not right now.
And we are not, and that's part of this military rebuilding. Skip, let me get you a last comment here. This is one of the concerns we have. You deal with a lot of military, current military officers serving. The sense is we need a reboot in the military. We need to re-equip our team.
That's right. You have to remember, we've been fighting the war now since 2001.
Right.
And that equipment is being used and used and used, and it comes a time when you've got to replace this equipment. So we're now at the point where we need to do that, and this administration plans to do that. The other thing is that the gentleman said, generals are normally the least likely to want to go to war unless we're going to go win and win quickly, and that's not happened with respect to this administration.
Yeah,
stretched it out. And he has increased casualties because of that.
All right, Skip, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at aclj.org. December's our biggest month. You know what we're doing. Briefs in Pennsylvania. Fighting the State Department on the Iran situation. And right now, trying to get this F-16 deal stopped. Logan will also let you know how you can participate with us. Phone lines are open.
That's right. Two lines are open right now. I'm sure they'll open up. 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Or get your comments in online. One line now available at 1-800-684-3110.
Could be your line.
Join
ACLJ
us right now.
We're back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Obama administration and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the ACLJ is vital. We could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Ooh, what a lucky man.
got to say this. There's been a lot of great musicians this year that the country has lost. If you were, if you're my age, 60, and you grew up in the 60s and 70s, you remember Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. And Logan just got the news that earlier in the year, Keith Emerson passed away.
Right.
And now...
And now Greg Lake passed away, apparently, of a long battle with cancer at 69 years old.
Yeah, that's just great music came out of Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. And the great song called Jerusalem. Maybe we'll play that next week on some great songs by Emerson, Lake, and Palmer about the reconquest of Jerusalem in a good way. Ash Carter has posted on Facebook. He is our Secretary of Defense, so everybody knows the story about the F-16 is real, that he was in meetings with the Prime Minister Modi of India during his final trip as Secretary of Defense. They discussed the tremendous progress in bilateral defense agreements and also the innovative and strategic partnerships that they've enjoyed. Many of the Prime Minister's initiatives, such as Make in India campaign and India's Act East Think West policies, have enabled greater technology and strategic collaboration than ever before. This is the groundwork for the move, folks. So those of you that think this is on fake sites, it is not. This is the real deal. Let's go right to the phones here.
All right, let's just start in order and finish up. Let's go to Alyssa, who is calling from Oregon on line one.
Hey, you've been holding a long time. We're going to send you a signed copy of Unholy Alliance. Go ahead, Alyssa. You're on the air.
Thank you. How are you doing,
great.
Guys?
Great.
Okay, good. My question is, we've sold military intelligence before. I mean, we have a history of it. Why is this so dangerous? What is this? Why is this causing so many alarms?
So we sell technology, including fighter aircraft, to governments that have good relations with the United States all the time.
That's a benefit of actually. Oftentimes, when you look at those deals, we're purchasing the planes for those countries.
Yeah, we're actually buying them for. So we did that with Egypt.
We're like rebuying the planes that you remember. Your taxpayer dollars go to Lockheed Martin and Boeing for all of this.
Yeah,
and then oftentimes your taxpayer dollars again go to another country to buy those
yes.
products. Some of that is because it costs a lot of money to develop the next level
of technology.
So they've got to build up cash, billions of dollars, to develop the next fighter jet.
Yeah, but the big difference here is this isn't just selling technology, which we do. This is the development and production of that technology in India. And as Skip Ash laid out so, I think, successfully in the last section of the broadcast, that in and of itself is dangerous. And it's also licensing agreements are going and technology. And Than, again, reiterate for everybody what we're doing to deal with this, because I think this is important.
Well, quickly, I also want to tie it back to the fact, remember last year, Jay, we objected to the sale of F-16s to Egypt and the Muslim Brotherhood. The reason that we could do that is because it was the United States that was selling them. If it was India that was selling them, we would have no longer been able to object.
Right.
So what we're asking Congress to do, block the transfer of the contract, and then, Jay, statutorily, that means under the law, statutorily prohibit any transfers like this from ever happening again.
That's exactly correct. All right, Logan, let's go right back to the phones again. ACLJ.org to sign that petition.
Hey, Bill and Cheyenne, you're on the air.
Hey, Bill, go ahead.
Good day to you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Just a side thought. Looks like you can't complain about not doing anything this year.
Yeah, it's been busy. Right here to the end, it looks like. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I've been trying to read your book, Unholy Alliance, and what I've read, speaking as an ex-service person, I believe that this administration, and speaking kindly, has no clue as to what's going on in this world, and we need to do everything to curb some of this crazy stuff going on.
They acknowledge it. I mean, President Obama's parting interview, I guess, with CNN. Let me play it for everybody. I mean, here it is, about ISIS.
Let me ask you if it's possible in your position to be completely honest and say the rise of the Islamic State surprised you. It took you by surprise. It took the administration by surprise.
The ability of ISIL to initiate major land offensives, that was not on my intelligence radar screen.
Yeah, I don't like it. I am going to be so happy when the President of the United States is not saying the word ISIL by describing ISIS by their aspirations instead of who they are. I don't like including the Levant folks. That includes Jerusalem. All right, let's go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Last segment, so you get to ask us anything. Let's go next.
Let's go to Ron in Wyoming.
Hey, Ron.
There. A lot of Wyoming today.
Yeah, a lot of Wyoming. Big in Wyoming today. All right, Ron.
Everyone in Wyoming is calling.
Go ahead, Ron.
My concern is the simple fact that this technology goes out there. That's a morsel for everybody to get a hold of. But once they've gotten a hold of it, they can turn around and counter that. They can learn how to counter that technology, and we're putting pilots
Yep.
Ours and everybody else's in danger here.
No, look, I mean, we still, Jordan said this, and I'll say it again. We are phasing out the F-16, but they will be utilized for another decade at least, and they will all, National Guard will be utilizing them.
Yeah, so Air this National
is
not, Guards.
Yeah, which is very important to our national security.
Yeah, training planes, Air National Guard. So in your state, again, the resources there. We're going to need parts. They're going to need to be repaired. This will be the sole production facility, which means all new parts will be manufactured or would be manufactured in India. So you could understand, again, the political issues that can arise, not necessarily with the current Indian government, but the next Indian government. And if tempers flare between India and Pakistan. And again, if you look at the very special balance between Pakistan and India, which is always teetering on the edge, they're
disaster,
both nuclear powers. Why, if you were Pakistan, who also is very involved in as a U.S. ally, maybe takes more heat for it, their government, why would they also not demand to have their own production facility? Because they're not going to be wanting to purchase, let me tell you, so F-16s from India.
No, they're absolutely not. All right, let's go ahead and take another call, Logan.
All right, Heather in Arkansas, you're on the air.
Heather, go ahead.
Jay, my question is, when did public relations internationally overshadow the security of the U.S.
The
and
last
our
8 years?
Technology?
The last 8 years. I mean, this has been this president's a globalist. So as a globalist, this is what he was encouraging. And you heard it in Ash Carter's posted statement on Facebook that he views this as the Make India campaign, Act East, Think West. We've got these new strategic alliances. But India doesn't have an alliance with Pakistan, who we have an alliance with, and they're the next door neighbors to India. And they both are nuclear powers. So let me tell you the threat level here. Really serious. And destabilizing the region because the president is not farsighted, and they think, and his team thinks, very myopically. All right, let's grab the last call.
All right, Christian, you're on the air.
Hey, Christian, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I was just curious because I've read that Lockheed Martin and Boeing are the ones that proposed the move to India, but
yes.
You guys are saying it's the Barack administration that proposed the move?
No, no, the administration's approving it. They are in favor of it.
Okay.
That Lockheed Martin, by the way, Lockheed Martin makes the F-16 Fighting Falcon, the F-18 Super Hornet is by Boeing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they would have to propose this. I don't think the U.S. government would go out of its way to make money for these companies, but what they did is they, when it comes to military aircraft, and in Lockheed's case, everything they develop is now military.
Right.
I don't think they do any civilian production.
No.
Boeing does. But anytime they want to produce this kind of, that can be used for harm, that's seen as a weapon, they've got to get the government's approval because all of those are paid for by the U.S. government, the research and development.
This was proposed then in August of 2016. It's just now coming to fruition because the Obama administration is trying to get it through here at the end.
Yeah, it was reported in all sorts of Texas newspapers back in August when Lockheed proposed it. But people need to understand what Jordan just said. The F-16 and the production of it, the only reason it's viable, and I mean the only reason it's viable, is because the United States government has been the one purchasing it. Therefore, they can block this transfer.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. ACLJ.org for that matching challenge campaign. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. Month of December is our biggest month again. ACLJ.org. And Logan? There are a lot of ways people can get this broadcast.
That's right. You can get this later on the JSEC Yellow Live podcast, available on iTunes, or you can get the ACLJ app. You can get that in the App Store if you have an iPhone, or if you have Roku or Apple TV, you can get a video version of this where you can watch the show, watch our movies, everything absolutely free right there on ACLJ, the app, JSEC Yellow Live, the podcast, or ACLJ.org, or find us on social media.
Talk to you tomorrow.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Please stand with the ACLJ right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.